This podcast is proudly brought to you by Solar Heart Sydney, the most trusted name in solar with over 70 years of experience on Sydney's rooftops. This is a Hope 103.2 podcast.
And the Oscar goes to...
You're a movie, what can you say?
Please, be kind, especially when we don't know what's going on.
So what I got?
Movies are dreams that you never forget.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Watch List. I'm here with Ben McKechnie from Hope 103.2. How are you doing today, Ben?
Russ, terrific. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm actually really excited. We get two films today, and in our short time we have together, I get to talk about two very different films, but I look forward to kind of leaning into the fact that both of them are kind of our dad topics. We can talk about being dads of daughters kind of thing, so we'll be able to kind of talk about Trap and It Ends With Us. So, different ends of the spectrum, but we're definitely going to be able to put these films through the lens of faith with The Watch List. And so looking forward to kind of chatting about this one, especially the first one is from a very well-known director named M. Night Shyamalan. And this one is called Trap. And Trap is set in Philadelphia. The backdrop of father and daughter are going along to a concert of the, of course, Lady Raven concert. That's been one of the most exciting things that's going to be going on in Philadelphia. And as the father, Cooper, and his daughter, Riley, are heading in, one of the things he notices is that there's really a large police presence. There's a lot of law enforcement around. And as they're enjoying the concert, he heads out and actually asks, what's going on? And one of the team members from the selling t-shirts says, well, let me tell you what's happening. You know about the butcher. And the butcher is actually a serial killer that's actually been causing some big tension throughout the city as he's had 25 different murders that have gone on. And what they found out was that the butcher was going to be at this concert. And so they have this huge dragnet that's supposed to be able to capture him, which Cooper's like, oh, wow, that's fascinating. But then walks away. And then we realize, oh, no, Cooper is actually the butcher. And so it's an interesting one. It's a fascinating premise that a concert would be a dragnet for a serial killer. But I'm looking forward to it, Ben. I got to know, what do you think? Did you think M. Night Shyamalan got this one right?
You were looking forward to it, or are you looking forward to talking about it? Because going to see it, it wasn't that great. But the whole idea of it actually seemed like it was going to be better than what it was.
Yep. I thought the concept was really fascinating. The only thing I'm always bothered by with a lot of these different trailers is that they tend to give away so much of the film in 2 minutes that you're going, okay, hopefully they're going to be able to tease out a little bit more from just the trailer, because the trailer was compelling. The premise is compelling. It's very unique, and especially the fact that M. Night Shyamalan's daughter is actually the artist, Lady Raven, who wrote all the music and everything like that for this one. So yes, I was looking forward to it on that front because I am an M. Night Shyamalan fan. I felt like he's definitely had highs and lows in his career, but I really enjoyed some of his latest films. But yeah, this one kind of was a tough one. What'd you think?
Agreed. And for a director who is still so identified with his first film, The Sixth Sense, which as we all know or should know, like just changed the landscape of really inventive thrillers in the past 20 years or so, just incredible. And ever since then, M. Night Shyamalan is trying to basically do the same sort of thing. There's always a trick, there's always a twist, there's always something with his films, which has been, you know, to a varying level of success throughout those movies, like The Happening, or I didn't mind The Visit, actually, The Village, not so much. But this one, Russ, one of the things that I found not so great about the track was
without being too much of a spoiler, right? Go ahead. Yeah.
You are not spoiling it by letting us know that Josh Hartnett as Cooper is the butcher. And we find that very early on. And this is a very similar premise to an Alfred Hitchcock film that's not as well known from the 70s called Frenzy,
right,
that did the same sort of thing where we're basically watching the cat and mouse game from effectively the serial killer's perspective. But the trouble that puts us in as an audience, and we talked about this last time on The Watch List with Deadpool and Wolverine, when you get in the position seeing through the eyes of an anti-hero,
right,
it's kind of morally conflicting to work out, what am I meant to do with this? Am I meant to be cheering on this guy,
right,
that he should be escaping from this trap of this concert and this dragnet of police? One of the best things about Trap is some of the ways that Shyamalan frames shots and some of his pacing and some of the building tension. But then also, Russ, I thought he undercut that just all the time, particularly when we already know who the killer is. And also, this to me seemed like a movie that was built entirely for this generation of TikTok and other online video watches, where you have right. to get to the point as soon as you possibly can. You have to do reasonably quick cuts. And basically, you've got to give all the game away in the first 10. You've got to give it away in the first seconds to effectively keep people watching on longer. And front-loading the film like that for me, Russ, trap just didn't really work, didn't hold my interest.
Right. Well, and I love how you actually brought in Alfred Hitchcock, because I really find that Shyamalan, what he really does is kind of imitates his style. Alfred Hitchcock, I feel that's one thing I did like about this movie, probably more than, say, other films that kind of focus on a serial killer, is that you don't have to necessarily see the gore. You don't have to necessarily see all the violence that actually could ensue. It all kind of happens in the shadows and happens in kind of thought and dialogue. And I really enjoy that aspect of it. I think I can enjoy a film. And I think that's probably why I like this director a little bit more than, say, a lot of the other kind of gore fest that kind of goes on in most of the horror genres. But
that is true. That's a big thumbs up for Trap, that it does not go into blood and gore and guts. It's not that kind of serial killer movie.
No, it's not. I mean, it's definitely a warning. I mean, it's definitely still dealing with a serial killer. And I think you really also touched on another point that I really would love to kind of tease out a little bit, is that it's kind of hard to cheer for him. Because, I mean, you know that this guy is the villain. You know that he's really more than just a villain. He's a serial killer. But yet, do you want him to escape the stadium or not? And but the only thing was, is that I really wish they had him kind of lean more into kind of that frustration of him trying to get out of the stadium more so, because unfortunately, not to spoil it for everybody, but he does eventually get out. And once they do, then I think the whole thing kind of goes pear-shaped, because you're like, well, okay, this is getting ridiculous. And so I felt like the story had so much promise within the confines of the stadium. And I think they could have leaned into that a little bit more, opposed to what we really gained by all of a sudden kind of him getting out and running amongst the populace. So that was where it just kind of fell over for me. And I did like Josh Hartnett. I really liked him in the lead. I thought that he did a fairly decent job. My problem was is that some of the other characters weren't really as believable, especially you had a profiler who's played by none other than Haley Mills from The Parent Trap. Kind of going, what's the
How
going
did
on there?
M. Night Shyamalan get Haley Mills into this movie, Russ? Like, why Haley Mills? It didn't even really tap into her being Haley Mills. Like, I was surprised to see Josh Hartnett back in something. I feel like I haven't seen him since the early 2000s right. when he was around quite a bit. And he clearly was like lapping up, getting to be the wide-eyed, crazy-smiled serial killer. And then with the very strange, and don't think they really pursued this as much as they could have, set up of being in a concert with his daughter, serial killer with his daughter.
Right.
And who clearly seems to love his daughter and like wants to right. be like a goofy dad with his daughter. And so Josh Hartnett, I thought, played that reasonably well. But yes, Haley Mills, what? And then other aspects of the trap that was set up, the more you think about it, it's like a lot of M. Night Shyamalan movies. The more you think about it, the more it starts to unravel really quickly about just how constructed this is,
right?
Just how fabricated the whole thing is, and just how many flaws there are. And it's not the best movie for encouraging you to not think about that. Because I kept thinking about that because I'm not that interested in what's going on screen.
Exactly. That's, I mean, it kind of goes into, you know, you're living this kind of secret life. I mean, I think that it really, that's where you kind of go into some of the faith elements that you can kind of tease out, is looking at, okay, do we all have that secret life? We try to put it on. And what does that mean? But is it really secret? Does God know who and what we're doing and what we're really on about? Will things come out and be made evident? Should we be living these different secret lives? I think, now this was an extreme. Obviously, most of us hopefully aren't serial killers, but we all do kind of sometimes hold those things in secret, but yet really knowing and understanding that God does know who we are and what's going on, and that justice will prevail. But really, that's almost like a really long bow kind of getting to that as far as kind of some of the connections. And also,
yeah, I'm impressed that you were inspired by Trap to think about that, Russ.
Well, but even especially as a father, you know, that's probably one of the things, if you could connect with Cooper in any way, you know, trying to even look like you're enjoying your time at a concert that most likely is not his style. But yeah, to be able to go along and see this, that did help me to kind of connect with the character. But then also, what you want to do is make sure you're living as transparent a life as you can for your children, as well as to your family and God.
Along those sort of lines, Russ, it also left me thinking about, and I'm not sure if Trap is trying to do this or not, But I was thinking about it also indicates that really terrible, evil people have families as well.
That's right.
And how do we respond to that? And what do we expect of those people? Do we expect that they change their behavior? Maybe they're unable to for whatever reason. So what kind of compassion or care do we extend to them? But in amongst all of that, still heads back towards what is Cooper doing? What is he thinking that he wants to achieve through these serial killer things that he does? And in amongst all of that, I'm trying to get into the rationale of a serial killer here and just think, what's going on in your mind, Cooper? And you don't get a lot of it in Trap. And you also don't get any kind of level of remorse or repentance for what he's doing, even when confronted with being exposed potentially to his family. And so in amongst that, Russ, I also walked out of Trap thinking, does this also talk about this film, which isn't very good? Does it talk about someone being beyond forgiveness?
Right. Oh, that's good.
Which is deep stuff coming out of a movie that actually isn't that deep.
Well, it is. And, you know, his family does get drawn into it. And so not only with his daughter, but also the extended family. So I think it's definitely something worth talking about. And if you're going to go see this movie, it definitely kind of be able to see how you can actually go a little bit further. And I think that's what we really want to try and do with the watch list. I do have to make mention, though, it's fascinating. So M. Night Shyamalan, one of the things that he's been doing is he's also been introducing a lot of his family into it. Not only his daughter, Selka, was actually the lead singer in this whole film, but also his other daughter, Ishana. She actually came out with a better film this past year. We're not going to go into it right now, but it's called The Watchers. It's definitely worth finding and discovering. I thought it was compelling, and I don't know why more people didn't actually take notice of it. But this, I find it interesting that she actually came out with a better film than her father did this year. And so that's just one worthwhile kind of considering. And so if I need to push somebody towards a good or a better film, that would probably be the one I'd go to, opposed to, I have a feeling I can know what the answer is right now for you. But as far as the watch list, this one doesn't really go on my watch list unless you're just a devout M. Night Shyamalan fan.
Agreed, Russ. Totally agreed.
Totally agreed.
Hey, it's Ben from Hope Mornings.
And Laura from Hope Afternoons.
The Chosen series is back for season 4.
And you can join us on our Following the Chosen podcast as we break down every episode.
From tackling scripture in a new way to humanizing the disciples and Jesus.
We unpack what the Chosen phenomena has to offer.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and on the Hope 103.2 YouTube channel.
Now we're going to jump real quick and kind of have some time just to talk about a film that's really been on the minds of so many people because the book is so popular. The book by Colleen Hoover called It Ends With Us has been like a TikTok phenomenon over the past few years, sold millions of copies, been translated in multiple languages around the world. And all of a sudden now we have Blake Lively taking it on as a project, and we see her taking on the role of Lily Bloom. So Lily Bloom, her full name is really Lily Blossom Bloom. Oh yeah, that's real. Moves to Boston to chase her lifelong dream of opening her own business. A chance meeting with charming neurosurgeon Ryle Kincaid soon sparks an intense connection, but all of a sudden they find out that not only were they in love, but he has a very dark side. But along the way, she also reconnects with her first love from high school. His name is Atlas Corrigan. And Atlas also comes from kind of a darker past and not necessarily from the same affluent area that she did. But all of a sudden, he finds himself as a successful restaurateur. And this love triangle forms, but also they're kind of driving forward the message about the importance of being aware of domestic violence in this film. So here we go. We're going to be talking about a film. I know you haven't had a chance to see it, right, Ben? Is that true?
No, Russ, because this may shock you, but I have not read the book. I was not rushing out to see the movie. I've only seen the trailer. And from what I can gather, this is not seemingly a movie for me. I don't seem to be the target audience, but am I wrong?
That is not wrong. I think the target audience, and I will admit too, I have not read the book. I do have my resident expert, my teenage daughter, who has read the book and told me all about it and helped me to understand whether or not they were true to the book with the story. And so I haven't read the book. I am not the target audience, but yet I think that there is an important message here from this film, and it's worthwhile kind of considering. And it is an interesting one in the sense that it is really a kind of a romantic drama between three people. I had a good friend of mine actually turn to me and goes, now, which one's the werewolf and which one's the vampire? You know, kind of pointing back to the Twilight kind of triangle. Love triangle that there was. And there's kind of that element to it. But really, it's a film about that. But really, the key element to it and why it's titled It Ends With Us is it comes down to the issue of a history of domestic violence that has occurred in Lily Bloom's life, and then why it needs to end with her and her generation.
So, Russ, that is a significant and heartbreaking, devastating topic, and a big one for any movie to handle. Not knowing anything much about this film apart from the trailer and the general vibe, does it work? Does it all come together? Because on one level, to me, it seems like really photogenic people such as Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni, who's also directed it, right?
He did direct it,
too. It looks like really pretty people getting together, and then there's a dark side. I'm not trying to belittle the subject matter entirely. I just wasn't compelled towards this movie thinking that it would be a really sincere, if I can use that word, like a really strong commentary against domestic violence. But again, am I wrong?
So what will draw most audiences in with one would be one of two things. One is that they've read the book and they want to know if it's going to translate well on the big screen. But two, because it is pretty people, it seems to be in this love triangle that's kind of occurring throughout it all that will draw people in to see the film. Now, interestingly enough, though, I found this is where I end up landing when I was kind of going through and reviewing it. It was less about the romance and really more about the statement piece. So it was really more of a statement piece on domestic violence, which I think they handled very well. I think they handled it tastefully. But yet also you have to ask yourself, is that what you want to be entertained by? A statement piece on domestic violence, or are you going more for the romance and kind of seeing what the whole storyline is? And so that's where it's kind of the struggle is.
But that would also suggest, Russ, that the two things can't go together. But oftentimes they can. That you can watch a film that maybe entertaining is not the right word, Russ. Like we go to films for all sorts of different reasons, and some of it's to be challenged, some of it's to be inspired, some of it's for enjoyment, and sometimes a film can do all of those things at once. And it's sounding to me like It Ends With Us does a reasonable job then of packaging itself as a romantic drama full of photogenic people, but it also lands with something that you can walk away with. But I hear what you're saying, that people, particularly if they haven't read the book, need to prepare themselves that this isn't just, I don't know what, some sort of Hallmark movie that is really syrupy and not dealing with some of the heavier sides of life.
Yeah. I mean, there is some comedy. Jenny Slate is fantastic scene stealer in almost every single element that she's a part of. But overall, it primarily is just kind of really getting to and how they handle even the whole issue of domestic violence. It's actually handled tastefully. It's not like overdone or overdrawn out. They do handle that element well, even though I feel like the script is kind of saddled with the lines from the book that feel a little put on at times. But for myself, I'm not the target audience, but I do find that if those who are going along, they do need to know that this is really more a film about the issues of domestic violence that have occurred throughout people's lives, opposed to really being focused on the romance itself.
So then there must be heaps of stuff that you can walk away and discuss from this film, Russ.
Tons. I mean, I think that it opens up the door for you to be able to be gentle and caring for people, those who kind of come along. I mean, I think that it is an opportunity to be able to talk into people's lives and ask them the impact that maybe domestic violence has had in their lives. And also even what the Bible has to say about it. Because I think that really the Bible really kind of helps us to understand that abuse is not ever right. There's no way that we could ever say that any sort of abuse like this would be right in any way, and it is wrong.
Amen.
But that also that we do have a God that loves us and wants to care for us throughout it. And there are so many organizations like the Salvation Army, you know, Mission Australia, even Lifeline, that would be able to help you in those scenarios and situations. So it's not only talking points, but also to be able to help people.
So Russ, then is this making it onto your watch list?
It's on my watch list for those who are fans of the book, but also those who, especially in our society today, it seems to be a hot button topic. And if you want to kind of go and be able to kind of continue on this conversation, it's worthwhile kind of engaging with it. As far as for myself, it's not one that I want to necessarily have to go back and see again, not because I didn't like it as much as it's not necessarily something I go to see as far as from an entertainment standpoint, but I do believe that I was able to gather the message that they're trying to deliver from this film. So as far as from a watch list standpoint, it's an interesting week. As far as it, we pretty much are kind of like, unnecessarily on Trap, but it ends with us. It is worthwhile engaging with, especially on a very important topic like domestic violence. And also for all those fans out there of this book, It Ends With Us. So, hey, Ben, I want to tell you so much. I just enjoy the conversation, and I really appreciate you coming along, being a part of the watch list. Ben not only does the watch list, but he has a whole bunch of other podcasts as well as on the radio regularly at Hope 103.2. So be sure to kind of go through and investigate more about what Ben and the team are doing there at Hope Media. With all the various different award-winning, actually, or award-nominating podcasts that they're a part of. And you can also engage with us on YouTube. So YouTube, we have Hope Media with the watch list, but also other podcasts that are definitely worthwhile engaging with. Go to the YouTube channel, check out, subscribe, not only the podcast, but to the YouTube channel, enjoy it. But hey, Ben, thanks again for being here.
Thanks, Russ.
I look forward to kind of our next conversation and hope you've enjoyed the watch list. Watch.